I just want to encourage you quickly. We have the good news. And we're sharing that good news with the world, right? That's what we're going to do. When you have good news, you don't typically hide it. You want to tell people. This past week, my grandma went into the hospital. She's in California. There was a little bit of a scare whether she had COVID or not. You can't visit correctly. And someone tested positive in my aunt's family. And then they tested negative. And, just all the craziness. What's happening? What's going on? And you're watching, for text messages constantly. Text message finally came at the end of the week. Grandma's going home. She's fine. And that's the fun message. That one got out there very quickly. And all that, we have a family text group. And there's suddenly all these, praise God. And we're rejoicing that she was coming home. We wanted to share that. When there's a new baby, you hear on Facebook, everywhere, you get texts and, hey, the new baby's here. And it's exciting. When there's good news, you want to share good news. We have good news. As a Christian, you have good news. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You want to share that good news. In 1 Peter, we went through not too long, quite a while ago now, but 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed, having no fear of them nor be troubled." And if you remember right, we're talking about the church being persecuted and people suffering because they claim Christianity. And verse 15, Peter says this, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Make a defense. Be prepared to share when someone says, "What is this about the hope in you? What's going on?" And these people, imagine, you're losing your job. That's what's probably happening in this town. They're starting to experience worse and worse persecution. People were ostracizing them. And yet they still had hope. They were still rejoicing. And when people came up and said, how can you respond that way? How can you respond in hope when things are going so badly? They said, "This is why, because I have good news." Now, the last couple years, the world is going crazy. There's a lot of things happening. COVID is out there. Still, it seems like it's out there. I thought it'd be gone by now, but it's out there. Are people walking up to you saying, "Please explain the hope you have in you"? I hope they are. Because we have a hope. So when the world goes crazy, when things get bad, when it looks like we could end up in the hospital at any moment, or something horrible could happen, or society is going to collapse, or I've heard inflation's continuing going up. When we're looking and we're walking through the grocery store and we're going, "Well, there's no toilet paper, there's no meat," we can still have that hope, the hope of Christ. And people should see that difference in our lives, and they should ask. And when they ask, what do we share with them? We share with them the good news. Euangelion is the Greek word. It's a neat word. It basically means just the good message, the good news, the gospel. Gospel, good news of Jesus Christ. What is this good news? What is it? Jesus came to earth to die for me. So I can have peace with God and just believe in Him. Now, we can go through, but I don't think in 7 minutes I can go through all the passages that talk about the good news of Christ. But I'd like to share with you a couple things. Our response to that good news, a lot of times, we go, "Well, someone's sitting there at work, someone says something, someone says, oh, I'm just so discouraged," and we go, I don't think I want to say anything. I don't want to tell them that good news. Why? Why don't we want to tell them? Paul says this in Romans 1:15. He says, "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation. So people can be saved. You're sitting there, that person's saying, the world's going crazy. I have no hope. And you can say, this is what it's all about. This is how to have salvation. This is who Jesus is. This is the truth, the reality of life. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We need to share it. We sometimes go, well, it's not intellectual enough. No, it needs to be scientific or philosophical. It's interesting. We say, well, is that a modern thing? You realize Paul had that same issue. In 1 Corinthians, he says this, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And he talks in that passage about the philosophies around him and just, it is the cross, it is the gospel. And yes, sometimes when people hear it, they'll say, well, that's just foolishness. And you sometimes don't want to do that. You don't want to be called foolish. Well, for someone who has rejected God, it is foolishness. But it is the power of God for salvation, is the truth. It's eternal life. You want to share the gospel. You need to not be ashamed. The good news of Christ is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Someone comes up to you and they say, "What's the gospel?" If you have to, get out your phone, because most of you have a Bible on your phone, go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read them the first few verses. The gospel is that Christ came to die for you. He died for our sins and was buried and then raised on the third day. This is the good news. And you need to respond to it. Believe in him. So we have this good news. And there's great debate in the Christian world and probably in the missionary world a little bit. What methodology, what way do you share this good news? And you read a lot of books and there's lots of discussion on how should you share this good news. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples real quick what Scripture gives. And I'm not going to get heavily into methodology. I just want you to see something. Turn to Acts chapter 8. There's a guy in Acts called Philip. Philip the Evangelist. If you call Philip the Evangelist, you're probably known for something. Evangelizing. Giving the gospel. So the Spirit of God said to Philip, basically, go out to the desert. So Philip goes to the desert. And he sees a chariot with a guy riding in the chariot. And God says, catch up with the chariot. Go talk to that guy. So Philip goes up to the chariot. And verse 30 says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And the man was saved. And goes on and talks about his baptism. But basically, he shared the gospel. When you look, and we say, well, how did Philip do this? We go, well, you could say there's multiple things. We can try to develop a methodology. We can say, well, Philip was led there, so you need to go where Christ leads. Or we go, well, he was reading this passage, and he used that passage as a kickoff point. So you can say, well, how do you look at how people look at things and where you start with this conversation? There's all these different things we can talk about. What is central to the whole thing? Throw out methodology. What's central? He told him the gospel. He told him about Jesus. That's central. He had to open up his mouth and tell him about Jesus. If you look, and there's a fire down the street. It was kind of scary. Bianca saw it that way. It was coming down. There's lots of fire trucks. And Mike Darrow was a firefighter. And they have cool boots, cool hats, you know, cool jackets. If you hear a lot about the jackets and hats, and if I went and trained as a firefighter, I'd want to learn about the jackets and hats and all the other stuff. What's most important, though? I want to know how to put out a fire. Right? There's lots of methodologies. You can take a lot of classes. Central, you have to tell them about Jesus. Open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. We look at the example of Paul. Paul is in Philippi. He gets thrown in jail. Earthquake comes. He and Silas are singing, you know, praising God. Earthquake comes. The jail's open. Everybody's getting up. All the jailers, the prisoners are looking around. Jailer comes, is going to kill himself. Paul says, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this guy wasn't educated. He was a Gentile jailer. The other guy had some knowledge of Scripture, seemed to be studious, a rich man most likely who had was studying Isaiah. Two completely separate, cultural, distinct, socially distinct, everything distinct. Yes, there are different methodologies, but what did both Philip and Paul have to do? Tell them about Jesus. Got to tell them about Jesus. Have to say and proclaim the good news of Christ. Even Jesus himself, he talks to a Pharisee in John 3. Talks about the Son of Man being lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus talks about Jesus. There are a lot of things we can learn, and I think it's good to take classes about evangelism. And I think there's things we can do to events and different things we can do to help spread the gospel and go out and knock on doors and do different things. But at its core, we need to tell people about Jesus. Friends, family, coworkers, people we run into. The most successful evangelists I've seen, the people who seem to, you talk to them, they go, oh yeah, I led someone to the Lord the other day, and they're now going to church, and this and you're like, wow. They meet people in the grocery store at Bianca's grandma. She's always telling people about Jesus. She's walking along the grocery store. They're in a long line. She starts talking about Jesus. I don't know if she's ever had a methodology class in her life. She just talks about Jesus. Gives people the gospel, the good news of what he's done. I want to encourage us and challenge us. Let us share the good news. Let's share the gospel with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news we have in you. For the salvation you have provided. Help me to share that good news with others, to make sure I'm not ashamed or somehow scared, that it just people see the hope in me and that I will be able to share that and rejoice in who you are and what you've done. Help us all to have that heart and share your word. In your name, amen.